This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. It is awesome to be with you on 97.5, The Fanatic in Philadelphia. Also, 97.9 ESPN Radio, Tallahassee Sports Monster, 107.5 Alive in Rhythm Mix Radio. It is Super Bowl weekend, Super Sunday, so we have a Super Bowl edition, a special. Two guests are on the show this week. Baltimore Ravens defensive end Calais Campbell, you'll hear from him coming up. And Casey Phillips, who is a Tampa Bay Buccaneers team reporter, she was a guest on our show a few years ago, and she'll be covering the Bucs in the Super Bowl. So she'll be on the show, and she'll talk about that experience, a little bit about the Bucs, and something that she posted that caught my attention last week. And I want to start with this because it was Ephesians 3:20 was the verse, and Casey talked about growing up, playing sports, and dreaming of becoming a broadcaster, and here it is now, her opportunity. She's covering this team, and they're in the Super Bowl in their home stadium, which is a first, and all kinds of firsts associated with the Buccaneers and Tom Brady. But I want to read from Ephesians 3:20 and talk about that a little bit. There's so many, obviously, different versions of it. The NLT version right here. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. When I said Ephesians 3:20, you immediately responded with a different version. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us.
Right.
It's a popular verse. It's a powerful verse. And then when you think about it, and you think about the words and the magnitude and the significance of this, and man, God is able to do so much more for us than we even imagine.
Right. This verse is, every time I stumble, every time I feel like fear is gotten into my heart, or I feel like, you know, sometimes like you imagine the worst case scenario. You know, sometimes you just sit there and you just imagine the worst case scenario. I'm reminded of that verse because the words in these verse, they're just incredible, right? He's saying immeasurably more. Like, you cannot even measure how much more he has for you. You cannot even imagine what he's got for you. That's what this verse is saying. So when you sit there and you just like wallow in your own misery and you're thinking, oh, you know, the worst case scenario is going to happen. I know it's going to happen.
We all do that, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm like queen of that sometimes. But like, I'm just reminded of that. Like, can you imagine, though, in my little limited thinking, this is what I can, my best case scenario is this. He's saying, no, the best case scenario is not even close to what I've got for you. So when you sit back and you think of the worst case scenario, think of at least the best case scenario is this. And guess what? It's not even close to what God got for you. Like, he's gotten a whole lot more than your best case scenario. So every time I'm like in a rut and I feel like, I don't think it's working out. Whatever. I'm just reminded of that. Like, let your imagination be God's playground. Because when
I like that.
Yeah. Because we all have imagination. God gave us imagination for a reason. It's actually his playground. But sometimes we use imagination in the wrong way. We use imagination to imagine the worst case scenario. But he's telling you, use your imagination to be the best case scenario. Because even then, when you got to the end of that, I got a whole lot more for you. And that's his playground. That's when he gets to just imagine great things with you. And I have like this great imagination. I'm very thorough in my imagination. Like, I see details. I don't just imagine like, oh, this would be cool. No, I like get to the nitty gritty details. Like, when I have a dream for myself, I even imagine what I'm wearing in a dream. Like, that's how detailed I am. I imagine what my hair would look like. I imagine what I feel. I'm like, even feeling, because imagination is actually very strong when you relate to feeling to it. So when you're in a rut, like when I feel weird, I imagine myself by the beach. Mm-hmm. Right? And then I go.
Your happy place.
And right away, you see a smile on my face because imaginations and feelings, they go together. So when you hold the feeling, when you hold that like, oh, I feel happy again, that's your imagination serving you well. And God wants you to use that. God wants you to access that imagination and go crazy, right? Go crazy. Because that's when he can really help you. That's when he really can turn things around for you.
There's no limit on what he can do. And there's no limit on what we can accomplish when we fully trust in him and accept and submit to him and allow him to work through us, through his mighty power to accomplish, as the verse says, infinitely more than we might ask. Sometimes we might ask, hey, I just want to get this job promotion, or I just want to get to this stage in my life, or I just want to get through this particular illness or whatever it may be that's troubling you, or however, whatever the goal may be on the list. This is all I need, Lord. This is all I need. And he's thinking, like, sometimes I imagine him, like, smiling and laughing and going, that's it? That's all you... That's
I
all,
know.
That's,
he does
that's,
do that.
That's all you want? Mm-hmm. Because I could do so much more, but that's all you're asking me for? Like, why are you limiting me? Why are you only expecting that even though I love you so much and have done everything for you, I'm only going to just dangle something in front of you. I'm only going to show you a little bit of it.
Right.
And
it's funny. You know, like when we have kids, right? And if somebody's listening, you know that you kids sometimes have asked you to go to a store, right? And sometimes our kids are like, they're cute, you know. They'd be like, oh, can you just take us to the dollar store? And we're all thinking to ourselves, like, I mean, that's an easy one.
I'm getting off easy if they ask me to go to the dollar store. Like, I'm happy.
I mean, they
then.
Always
I'm
ask like, oh, for Target, okay. But we're like, you know, let's just think of other options. But when they ask us for a dollar store, we're like, yes, all right, that's easy. All right,
I'm like,
we do that.
Oh, okay. You can get multiple things here, girls. It's all good.
Yeah. And we're like, yeah, let's go to a dollar store. And they go crazy, right? They're like, it's like free for all or something.
Yeah, well, you get their crafts
school,
and you get all
whatever.
Their stuff. It's
that
cute.
Cool. Yeah. But in the back of my mind, I'm going, yo, they don't know that I can afford Target. I could do this, you know, but I just don't want to, right? Because they didn't ask. They didn't ask me, right? They didn't ask me. But they asked me for a dollar store. I'm like, all right, cool. That dollar store is good, too. Yeah. I can do dollar store. But if you think about it, that's what
we're
doing
with
God.
We need to mix in a dollar store because they're asking for stuff way too often, man.
They ask for God, like, they ask for everything. But I'm just saying it's the same thing with us asking God, like, for the crumbs, and he's going, I got the whole loaf for you.
Don't ask him for the dollar store.
Don't ask for a dollar store.
Go for it. Go. We can aim. We can aim higher than a dollar store with God.
Yeah, go to
the
mall.
We can for the big time the department stores or like Fifth Avenue, New York, whatever you. We're not talking about
anything,
material
right?
stuff. Yeah, we're talking about.
We're trying to relate it to, like, you know, because I do that. I do that a lot, too.
And again, it's not about material stuff or possessions. It's about when you're aligned with God's will, when we're aligned with him, when we're one and in accord with his thinking and his will for us and what we want to live out through him and the talent and the blessings that he's bestowed upon us. That's when you can open yourself up to a world of abundant, exceeding, and everything else it says here in Ephesians 3:20, because it's according to the power that works within us. Now, it's not like, you know, you just show up out of the blue, out of nowhere. You got no relationship with the Lord. You're an occasional churchgoer, maybe occasional prayer person or whatever, and then all of a sudden decide, hey, you know what, we're listening to this show and Rob and Remy are talking about it. God's got exceeding and abundant and all this, I'm going to start asking. No, this is, we're talking about when you are completely there, when your walk is strong, when your journey with the Lord is strong and powerful, and we're all going to have rough patches during that. You have a lot, you know, of rough patches you talk about. I have a lot of rough patches that I talk about. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes there's a lot of doubt that creeps in. Yeah. And part of this, too, is there's a lot of, sometimes it's easier in your mind to settle, right? Like sometimes I feel like it would be so much easier to have no aspirations. It would be so much easier to have no goals, right? Yeah. Isn't it easier? Like if
We talked about choosing your heart before.
Yeah. If you're completely content with not accomplishing more, achieving more, doing more, striving for more, wanting more, trying to better yourself, trying to better your situation, trying to better everyone around you. And it's not that, it doesn't even have to be that your particular situation isn't even good. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'd like to think I'm in a pretty good situation, yet I want to do more. Yet I want to accomplish more. Yet I want to achieve more. But sometimes I feel like it'd be so much easier if I didn't have those goals and those aspirations, because life would be like, all right, sit on a couch, take it easy after a long, hard day at work or whatever it may be, and just chill, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, there's so much more in store for us. There's so much more that we can do if we open ourselves to it.
I think it's all comes down to personal development. And, you know, I talk about this a lot, and I love talking about this because it all boils down to God working on your heart to be someone better. And it's not about achieving more. It's not about gaining more. It's about who are you as a person? Who are you? You know, the world threw at us so much when we're growing up. And you're labeling yourself all day long. And you're this and you're that. And God is basically trying to peel all these layers to get to the true you. And the true you is someone that can do so much and conquer so much. And through that, you're changing, you're peeling the layers, and you're growing, and you're becoming something that is so much better. And when you're talking about like, oh, it would be easier to sit on a couch, yeah, it is easier, but that nagging voice inside of you is your purpose. Your purpose is saying, hello, you're not a couch potato. You're much more than that, you know? And your purpose is always digging, because that's the Holy Spirit asking you to become better, to become the person that God asks you to be. And everything that we're saying here with this verse, it's saying that God has so much more for you, because you are so much more. You're just not seeing it yet. You're not there yet. You're not that person yet. You know, I know I'm not that person yet. And that's why your purpose is always nagging. Your purpose is going, oh, yeah, you didn't work on your purpose. This is not it.
Yeah, it bothers me, right? It bothers me when I go through.
Keep going.
I go through a day where I feel like, well, I didn't do anything that helps me move myself, progress myself forward, right? So if I just show up at work and do whatever I have to do, and then I'm content with that, sometimes I feel like, yeah, there's more I can do. There's something else I can do. There's, you know, I got goals. I got all kinds of things that I want to attain, and I want to achieve, and I want to be able to do, and I want to, and if I'm satisfied at that point, it does, like you said, it nags at me. Mm-hmm. It bothers me. It makes me feel like, hey, I didn't do a good job of really stewarding what God put in my heart and gave me to do, and the talent and ability that he blessed me with. So I have to pursue it. I have to follow it. And you're good at pushing. You're good at that. And you're good at like saying, hey, don't settle. Don't be happy. Don't be satisfied.
No, I want you to be happy. I just don't want you to settle.
Yeah, well,
I don't think anybody should settle. I think,
right?
You know, we should always do the things that God asks us to do, but do it from a place where you're not doing, quote unquote, for God, because he doesn't care about what we're doing. Mm-hmm. He cares about a heart position at all times. So when we're talking about all this and you're listening, you're like, I guess I'm not doing more. God can care less. Tell you right now, he can care less. If your heart position is correct with everything you're doing, you could be a stay-at-home mom, which I was for the longest time, and that was always nagging on my heart, because I feel like I was not doing more. Like, I need to do more. But God can care less, because he wants you to do whatever you're doing from a position of all glory to God at all times. All glory to him at all times. It doesn't matter the kind of doing you're doing, if that makes any sense.
Well, we all have a different purpose too.
And we all have a different
purpose. And there's different stages to it. So when you go through a stage of being at home, taking care of the children, there's nothing more important for you in that chapter of your life. And you need to do that, and you want to do that, and you take time to do that. And that comes from God giving you, because somebody else might not be in a position, unfortunately, where they can do that, where maybe they have to also work, or maybe someone is in a position of being a single mother or a single dad, and now you have to raise kids, work at the same time, and you feel overwhelmed and you feel all of that. So like you said, yeah, it's not about the doing. It's about the heart position. Where are you? I also want to get into a little bit because Calais Campbell, who's coming up next, talks about we get into a little bit of his foundation and the things that he's doing. And he's just such a – last year he was the Walter Payton Man of the Year award winner in the NFL, which is for community service, for giving back, and everything that he does off the field. And he talked about being a charitable giver. Mm-hmm. Don't give to get something in return is what he said. And he said, when you give, that's the greatest joy. So I wanted to touch on that a little bit for a few minutes before we go to that interview. Yeah. Because sometimes we feel I need to give so I can get in return. Mm-hmm. And no matter what I give, God will replace. If we feel that we're giving and we're being charitable, but yet we're doing it out of waiting on God to reward us for it, our heart's not in the right place.
Yes. So I have two kind of ideas about this, right? Mm-hmm. I love to give because it's, I don't know why, but it's just like the coolest thing ever, right? It's just, I feel like I am becoming now like the hands and feet of God and just trying, like when I help someone, I feel like I just showed up to them, you know, as like God's angel for that person, right?
Yeah, for that moment.
Yeah. And it always feels amazing, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, I'm a believer of sowing seeds. Mm-hmm. And God, like the Bible is always talking about sowing seeds in the right environment and in the right place. So I do believe that God rewards those seeds. And if you put them in the right place, meaning helping people that God put in your path, God does reward that. He doesn't just go like, okay, that's what you have to do.
But it might not be in a way that we think, right?
The reward isn't necessarily coming like,
all right, I'm going to give X amount. Say you tithe this much or you give X to this charity or you give, oh no, all of a sudden God is going to return all that money in the form of lottery or something. No, it's not
He's not a Roth IRA. It does not work like that. You know what I'm saying? Like he doesn't work like that, but he does reward us in different ways. I see the favor of God in my life. I see the favor of God in my husband and my children because of those seeds. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely true. And it's in the Bible. Whatever you sow, you will reap. So when you're sowing blessings, when you're sowing that phone call to ask about someone, that is sowing. Mm. When you're sowing time to talk to someone, when you're sowing guidance, when somebody calls me up and says, I need your help with this situation, and you're sowing that hour and a half because, I mean, I'm one of these people, I cannot be on a phone for that long because I get depleted really quickly.
You get restless.
But I do
kids screaming in the background.
Yeah, but I do it because I feel like God called me to do that. That's actually sowing. Giving doesn't have to be money.
No,
that
not
is
at
giving
all.
Of your time.
Giving and of your time, of your advice,
I'm gonna
of your talent.
I'm going to say it like this. Honestly, giving my time is a lot harder because sometimes I don't have that time. I don't have that hour and a half to sit on a phone with someone. But I do it because if God called me to that, to be, you know, there for that person, to guide them, to give them advice, to give them some wisdom, that is giving. That is sowing in their life. And God will sow something in my life back that I will reap something from that. I'm a believer of that. And I don't do it because of that, but I do it because God asked me to do it. And it feels amazing when you help someone. It feels so awesome. It feels like, wow, like God really appointed me to help that person. Like today I texted two people, right, out of the blue because they came to my mind when I was watching church. And I was like, and when I did, the text back was, I prayed for someone to reach out to me to say those exact words.
Wow.
I mean, if that's not God, I don't know what it is. So
you didn't even tell me that. Now you got to share that with me.
Yeah.
But we're running out of time, so you're gonna have to tell me off.
Yeah. So,
how about that? I like that.
Yeah, it's the truth. So when God puts someone on your heart, reach out because they prayed for you. They prayed for you, so do it. You're sowing God's love in somebody's heart, and it's amazing.
Speaking of prayer, whenever we say we're gonna pray for somebody, like you know what I do? I sometimes take notes, right? And I in my phone. Because I want to remember, because a lot of times people, and I want to remember, and I'll ask the specific name, okay, what is your daughter's name, or what is your son's name, or what is your mom's name, or whatever, and then I want to make sure I get to that. Up next, you're going to hear from Calais Campbell. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show with Rob and Remy Motti.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with Remy. If you're tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonthefieldshow.com and find every episode. Since we launched in April 2017, we've had an awesome lineup, incredible guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. If you want to sign up for our weekly email list, we will send each episode right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Motti on all her platforms. We'll let you know about some of the speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. You can also go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of my recent messages, some of my interviews with the athletes. Some are longer form, so you could check those out there too. As well. Our first guest this week, Calais Campbell, just completed his 13th season in the NFL and his first with the Baltimore Ravens. He previously played with the Jacksonville Jaguars and Arizona Cardinals. Calais is a six-time Pro Bowl defensive end, a 2017 All-Pro, and last year he was the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award winner for his community and charity work. I spoke to Calais earlier in the season, so I edited out the football part of the conversation that was dated. But here's the rest of my chat with Calais Campbell.
Calais, I want to talk to you a little bit about the shirt you're rocking over there. And I spoke to Malcolm Jenkins last week about you guys have partnered up with Old Spice and their program to reach more than 100,000 students. That's the goal in underserved communities and aiming to increase high school graduation rates. Tell me about the importance of doing this and partnering with them on this project.
It means everything to me. You know, I'm a strong advocate of educating our youth and making sure that we invest into our future and being able to partner with Old Spice and seeing other, you know, like-minded people who want to invest into our future is very important to me. And, you know, just being able to, you know, build confidence in the Black community, you know, amongst our young boys who are struggling, you know, fighting, you know, and dealing with all the oppressions and different things. And we're promoting the documentary Black Boys, which is an incredible film that just gives you an authentic just realization of how things are in America for young Black boys and just what they need to be able to to flourish and be able to reach their goals. And so it's a great partnership. And I couldn't be prouder of just the film and just seeing that people really care and they're trying to, it starts with just, you know, I mean, one day at a time, doing consistent things to try to make a difference.
I know you're going to sit down with some of those students and you guys are going to watch the film, talk about it. What are you hoping that they take away from watching that film, Black Boys?
You know, I when you watch the film, you know, I know everybody's going to take away different things, but for me, you know, I really resonated with me is that if you really just start to believe in yourself and you set goals, you know, you could be successful. And I was very blessed to have a father figure and in just a whole family background that really encouraged me and told me I could do anything I put my mind to. And yeah, football worked out for me, but even if football didn't work out for me, I had great backup plans and, you know, I was locked in and focused and trying to accomplish my goal. And after watching the movie, I actually called my little brother and we had a conversation about like just how fortunate we've been. And I was encouraging him to watch it. Like I encourage everybody who's watching this right now to take an hour and a half and turn it on. It's a really great documentary that just kind of puts things in perspective.
Clayce, what are your thoughts on what the NFL is doing as far as social justice initiatives? And is there anything specific that you would like to see, maybe some sort of call to action?
You know, I feel like the NFL has started to communicate with us as players and asking us, you know, what we want to do to make a difference. And we're on par and starting to, you know, really trying to create initiatives that make a real difference. You know, there are so many different things that, you know, that mean a lot to me that I want to kind of push and move forward, but none bigger than education. And it really starts with, you know, just spending time with our youth. And the NFL has made a commitment. You know, a lot of companies around the country have made a commitment. And I'm very excited to be partnering with Old Spice because, you know, after talking to their reps and getting a feel for what they want to do, it really is a great partnership because we really believe the same things. And it just starts with belief first and then putting the work in. So we're going to put the work in and hopefully make a difference.
You mentioned your dad, your CRC Foundation is named after him. And I know you're involved in a ton of off the field work. You received the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award last year for all that you do. How important is giving back and what is the mission of the foundation and your dad, how he inspired you to go about all that work that you're doing?
Yeah, you know, that's something that has been, you know, a strong passion of mine is to utilize the lessons that my dad taught me and my brothers and sisters and just try to spread that kind of love throughout the communities. And as I've matured and evolved and the organization's matured and evolved, you know, we really have made a strong push on education and life skills and, you know, financial literacy and really just trying to create a safe environment for young Black kids and really all kids to flourish. And for me, you know, the one thing that really matters to me is just making sure that my dad's legacy, it means something, that the kids know that, you know, when I go out there and talk to them and try to be a mentor and try to make a difference in this world, it's because I had a foundation that was laid upon me from my father, who was just a really incredible guy. Who had great values and character, and beyond money, beyond success and everything else, it really starts with your character, who you are on the inside, and belief in oneself and the confidence that you can do anything you put your mind to. And it really, you know, not material things and all that stuff is it doesn't really matter. What really matters is who you are as a person, how you treat other people. And so hopefully my dad will be proud of who I am and who I've become. And, you know, and I'm just trying to do my part and make a difference.
Clayce, I end every radio show I do with Make a Difference, Be a Blessing. And that sounds like absolutely something that you're doing in your life. There's a verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians says, God loves a cheerful giver. You seem to give back so happily, so readily. How much does your faith inspire you to do what you do?
Oh, it's everything, you know, and that's something that, you know, my parents, both my mom and my dad, did a really good job instilling us at a young age. And, you know, my mom has been an avid churchgoer since, you know, for her whole life and has raised us in the church, and having that faith and belief that, you know, that, I mean, all things are possible through Christ Jesus. And really, you know, just being, you know, a charitable giver. And I never give to get anything in return. You know, I only do what's in my heart and what God puts on my heart. And I feel like that's been just a great experience for me, because, you know, when you give, you realize like that's the greatest joy. You know, you feel so much better when you help other people accomplish their goals and help them, just get things that they really need.
Calais, man, I really appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. Thank you so much, and I wish you a ton of blessings.
I appreciate it.
That was six-time Pro Bowl defensive end Calais Campbell. This is Faith on the Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich, made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll, makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses, freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have 2 daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Mahdi with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler, and Associates. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We've got various packages for all of the radio stations. We can also do podcasts, social media, video clips of our interviews. There's a ton of different ways that you can partner up with Faith on the Field and help us grow our ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. And if you don't have a business to advertise on, but you just want to help our ministry grow, we now have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. And also, we've recently added, you can help our ministry by purchasing some of our new merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, mugs, face masks, and so much more. The My Story, His Glory t-shirt is very popular. We have a new design that's got a football helmet, and it says, "I wear the helmet of salvation," which we took from Ephesians 6:17. So check that out on our website, also at faithonthefieldshow.com. You can look under merch and all over our social media. You can also find that stuff too. Our second guest on the Super Sunday edition of Faith on the Field Show is Casey Phillips. She's a team reporter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers website. Casey was on the show back in 2018, and it's great to have her on again. I love her willingness and openness to share Christ on her platform. Here's my conversation with Casey Phillips.
Casey, you grew up wanting to be a reporter, and you're obviously living out your dream. What is it like to this year be covering a team that's going to the Super Bowl, making history in their own state, in their own stadium?
It's incredible. I mean, the entire city of Tampa is freaking out. This has just been so fun. And you, of course, also had the Rays going to the World Series, the Lightning winning. I mean, Tampa Bay has just been going nuts. And I mean, for me, the fact that I work for a team puts me in a bit of a different position where I really feel like they're, you know, my family, they're who I spend a lot of time with. And I feel like I really know everyone as people. And so there's just such an extra added excitement because this organization is full of so many amazing people that I'm just genuinely happy for them to get this experience. That it's not just like being a fan of a team. It's these are individual people that I know how hard they've worked. I know how wonderful they are, the amount they've done for charity. And it's just so cool to be excited for them to be finally on the world's biggest stage.
Just when did you realize how special this season was going to be? Obviously, when the Bucs signed Tom Brady, things started like, oh my goodness, Tom Brady's leaving New England. This is real. He's coming to Tampa. He's joining the Bucs. Then they get Gronk and they start adding player after player. When did you sense that this was going to be something special?
I think there were two different times. I think one was kind of right after we signed both Brady and Gronk, that it's like, okay, this is now about to be a big old media circus, regardless of what happens in the season. There's going to be a lot of attention to this. It's going to be a lot of fun. And just a whole new level of spotlight was going to be put on us. But then I think in terms of it being special in terms of a season success way, I think it was not too long after the Chiefs game, which is kind of ironic now, and realizing that they seemed to all of a sudden just start clicking, putting it together. And, you know, the beginning of that 7-game winning streak that they're on now, the Chiefs game, it almost felt like even halftime was when that light bulb went off. And the second half, you started seeing, okay, that they're going to start putting this together and getting it figured out. And so there was the two different moments of there's going to be a lot of attention and then we're going to actually do something with this.
What were you able to learn about? Obviously, Tom's been around for 20 years, won 6 Super Bowls and all that he's accomplished in New England. But what were you able to, now covering him on a daily basis, learn about him that maybe you didn't know?
You know, I have learned what a great dad he is, and I've loved listening to him talk about his kids, and you can just tell the genuine earnestness with that. And I've learned what a good teammate he is, how down to earth he is. The guys just cannot stop bragging about how he's fun to have in the locker room. He's funny. He makes jokes. And I think a lot of them, you know, there's this idea of Tom Brady. And then he came in and they're all like, yeah, he's just a dude. He's just a regular dude in the locker room. And that he is a great leader who holds them accountable. So it's kind of the best of both worlds where on the field, he is Tom Brady. He will get on you. He holds himself to that same standard. But then in the locker room and off the field, he's exactly the kind of teammate everybody would want, not this star, you know, kind of mentality where he's above everybody. They said he's just one of the guys.
In the same way, Gronk's got this larger than life personality. He's a fun guy. But I just heard Bruce Arians talk about his work ethic is second to none, always in the building. And you don't really think of that about Gronk. You think about this guy partying, having fun, letting loose. But you really can't get to the level that he's at, a Hall of Fame potential tight end, without having that work ethic. So same question. What did you learn about Gronk?
Yeah, I think that I had always wondered how much that was almost an act, the Gronk, you know, the persona. I mean, heck, he was in WWE, so we know that he knows how to put on a show, right? And then my very first interview, I realized that that energy is completely who he is, that he just loves life. He loves football. He loves people. He loves laughing. And you hear this from Byron Leftwich and BA and other teammates that they're like, man, I just wish I looked at life the way that Gronk does, that if you need a pick-me-up, he is your guy. But then Byron Leftwich the other day said, but he knows when to be serious. And that is such a good characteristic where he can always bring fun and laughter into a season that can sometimes become a grind and very monotonous, but he knows when to focus in. He knows how to put the effort in and how to get his body ready and all of that stuff. So again, with he and Tom, it's such a similar dynamic of knowing how to be the really good teammates, enjoy it, have fun, but then knowing how to be serious.
Casey, the Bucs are making history, first team to play in a Super Bowl in their home stadium. Also, first team to have 3 Black coordinators, offensive, defensive, special teams. Also, first team to have 2 female coaches on their staff. And I heard Bruce Arians say that was by choice. He felt that was a door that needed to be opened. And they're hardworking women, and they're more than qualified. As a female reporter yourself, how much do you appreciate Bruce Arians opening that door?
It's incredible. I honestly feel like I've always loved working for the Buccaneers, but recently when it was hiring multiple women, it was, you know, the Black coordinators, the social justice fund that the team has, all of those things put together, it's just kind of taken my pride of working for this organization to a whole other level. And I think about how, for me, even when I first wanted to be a broadcaster, I just kind of thought about news first, because I just don't feel like I even understood that the sports thing was as much of an option. And to now realize that the more and more women in different types of jobs there are, the more little girls, it'll just be a given that that's something you can strive for. And it takes someone like Bruce Arians and like the Glazer family to decide this is important and we're going to step out and be the ones to do it, you know, first in some ways, to have multiple on your staff to make that effort is just incredible, to give them that opportunity. And I know that the players love them. They've had a ton of success. They're both incredible at their jobs, bring a lot to this organization. So yeah, I love that Bruce is that guy.
You mentioned earlier about the success Tampa's had. It's now the city of champions. My wife and I and our kids, we spent 4 months there during the pandemic when I went down for spring training and never left. We just wanted to stay there, stay on the beach. And the Rays made it to the World Series. The Lightning won the Stanley Cup. And now Tampa, the Buccaneers, are going to the Super Bowl. But it's different because you can't fill the stadium. Fans aren't as able to be there and enjoy it. Has that kind of muted, you know, for you, the celebration, the enthusiasm, or is it picking up now?
You know, I mean, I think, of course, you want to be able to do all the things you think of that come with a Super Bowl. And, you know, I remember I felt bad for the Lightning that they didn't get to have the big full parade like you would imagine. And so, of course, you're sad that you're going to miss some of those things that would normally go with the Super Bowl, all the parties and all the things that are leading up to the game. But in terms of the excitement of the idea that your team is in the Super Bowl and has the chance to win it, none of that other stuff matters when it comes to that. And to me, if nothing else, it's even more impressive to have success in a year like this, where nothing was normal. You lost an off season. There was so much to overcome. I mean, COVID could have so easily derailed your season. The way that everyone has handled themselves, I think, should give them an even bigger boost, knowing that if you're going to make the Super Bowl, the fact that it was in one of the weirdest years ever is so impressive. So yeah, I feel like the excitement from what I've sensed from fans, from people that work for the team, players, coaches, that as much as we wish we could have it packed out, as much as we wish everything was normal, it does not take away from the idea of them being in the Super Bowl.
Casey, now you posted recently about growing up. I believe the article in the paper was when you were a senior in high school and wanting to live out your dream of becoming a broadcaster. What sports did you play back then as a kid growing up? And when did you really realize, like, this was what you wanted to do 100%?
Yeah, so at some point in my life, I have played tennis, basketball, volleyball, softball, and track. And basketball was definitely my main sport that I did. And when I was 12 was when I knew I wanted to be a broadcaster, which is so crazy. And then in high school, my high school actually had a TV station inside the school. You know, we reported on breaking news like the lunch menu. It's very serious. And my teacher there said, you know, I give one student the chance to interview for an internship every year. And she said, I know this is actually what you want to do, so I'm going to let you interview for a couple. She said, you're not going to get it. You're going against college seniors and graduates, but it's just so that you get the experience of interviewing. And it was for the Dallas Mavericks and Fox Sports Southwest. And so I walk in there, 17-year-old. I have no experience. I have no resume. I have no none of that. And I ended up getting both of them. So that was definitely the moment that I felt like God was saying this is what I needed to do, because I could take no credit for that whatsoever. So yeah, I started doing those internships. And so from age 17 to 21, I ended up working for the Mavericks twice, Fox Sports Southwest three times, CBS in Dallas twice, the Cowboys twice. It was just unbelievable the doors that got opened, and it just set me up so well for this career. And that was when I knew I wanted to do sports, and it took that teacher suggesting these internships for me to make that switch from news to sports.
Well, I love how you mentioned God, and you wrote about Ephesians 3:20, which I want to read to everybody. Now, all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. As you reflect on that Bible verse and everything you just chronicled in your life, how have you seen God's work just really everywhere along the way take you from one step to the next?
Yeah, my job is one of the biggest parts of my testimony, for sure, that I just felt like seeing him open the doors for me and them being jobs that were even more and better than I had thought or planned or expected. And using things that at the time maybe even seemed like a problem to set me up for success, that, you know, I tore my ACL right at the end of college. And all of a sudden I'm finally about to get a real job and I can't carry the camera and the tripod and everything I need to do. And I ended up taking a job with Disney in their PR department. And I was kind of worried that it was going to put me into more of that track, that all this work I'd done in broadcasting, I thought, oh my gosh, my career is going to be over before I even started it. And then by working there, I then after that applied for the Wizards job in the NBA, and they hired me in, as compared to 300 other people apparently who'd applied. I said, I love that you did, but why did you do that? And they're like, well, you were the only one that also had the PR and the social media and the marketing from Disney. Everybody else had broadcast experience, but you were the only one that also had that. And I remember I had been so frustrated with God at the time when I tore my ACL. And in that moment, I felt like I just heard him being like, anything you want to say right now? And it was just such a great example of how his plans are so much better than ours. His ways are so much better than ours. And all the doors he's opened for me have just been incredible. The experiences I've gotten to have, the people I've gotten to know, it's just amazing.
How have you were on the show 3 years ago. I can't believe it's been 3 years. We've been doing this show now for 4 years, and you were on in 2018. I think it was around April. How have you grown in your walk since that time? You know, obviously we continue to grow. We continue to mature. We continue to develop. How have you grown over the last 3 years?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I've actually gotten to preach at a church here a few different times over the last few years. So that's been a huge growth experience for me. I also ended up getting diagnosed with ulcerative colitis a year and a half ago. And that was a really brutal thing to go through. But then it's same thing where I was so worried at the time of what is this going to mean and what is this going to be about my life? And God has just been so good in providing for me since. And, you know, I think there's so much truth to the stuff about in the Sermon on the Mount about, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed, all these, you know, the meek, the mild. Whenever you're going through things, that's when you get closest to God. And that just the way that I felt his tangible presence and peace during those times of complete uncertainty, when I had no reason to have any semblance of peace, was just so amazing and has really served me well over this last year. I think that when there is so much uncertainty in the world, when you've gone through things and seen how God doesn't let you go in that time, it helps you face those new things that much more.
Do you see a sense of strong bond, brotherhood, and faith on the team? Have you been able to? I know this year's different, 2020. We're not able to go in locker rooms. We're not able to really get one-on-ones. Everything's been done over Zoom. But how have you seen the locker room on the Tampa Bay Bucks?
Yeah, there's absolutely that for sure. And one of the things that's so amazing is Clyde Christensen, the quarterback coach, really strong man of faith. And he's kind of stepped into taking a little bit of the chaplain role on the team. So he runs chapel and, you know, gets guests on the road and stuff. And he lets me come, which is just so wonderful. And when I don't get to go to church for half the year because of our schedule. So when I was traveling, I would get to go to there. And so I would see all the players that would go. And I've gotten to have some really amazing conversations with some of them and gotten to invite some of them to my church. And, you know, I've had a few guys on the team come to Bible studies that I was leading and hosting. And it's just so cool to be able to have those kind of conversations where you go from being coworkers and kind of buddies off the field to it just being such a different level. And I even, you know, the day I got my diagnosis of ulcerative colitis, that night I was working an event with all of our rookies, and they actually, it was a bonding thing for them. And they asked everybody to share something difficult that they, you know, were dealing with. And so I ended up sharing that. So ironically, the very first people to know what I was going through were, you know, guys on the team. And it's just such a reminder of how you kind of have a family already as a football family. And then you can also have the Christian family within it, where I know there were guys that said they were praying for me. And it was just a really cool feeling.
2020 was obviously a very difficult year for everybody with the pandemic. It's carried over a little bit into 2021. And of course, it's different for Tampa Bay sports, the success they've had. But what helped you through? Sometimes we had to be isolated. Sometimes we have to be away from the people we love. We can't do things as per usual. What helped you get through that time and through this pandemic as we're still getting through it?
Yeah, I led a few Zoom Bible studies, and I think that was really important just to realize that, you don't have to be in a church building to be experiencing God or Christian community, and to just still make those efforts to people who, you know, we all were isolated, weren't able to get together, but still have that sense of community there as well. So I led a few of those, and just still continuing to make sure that on my own, I'm doing what I need to do in terms of my own Bible study, my own time of worship, and all of that, that don't rely on other people to be feeding you for that, and still taking ownership of it as well. And honestly, just the idea of getting to slow down a little bit, that, you know, my life does not involve a lot of that. And to have time to just, I go for a lot of walks and listen to worship music while I go for a walk, and having some more of these quiet times with God that unfortunately I don't always make enough of. It's been nice to now definitely not have the excuse of not having time to do it.
All right, Casey, I got to put you on the spot. And I'll tell you, I made a decision a few years ago, for as long as Tom Brady's playing, I will always pick him to win a Super Bowl. I've had a tremendous run in this postseason. I'm 9-0 against the spread. I've already picked the Buccaneers to win the Super Bowl. What are you seeing in this game against Kansas City?
Yeah, I think that one thing we've seen is how well the Bucs have done in these playoff games that were matchups against a team they faced in the regular season. And that tells me that this coaching staff has done an amazing job of making adjustments. And I feel like they definitely, even you saw again in the second half of that game, how much better they were playing. So it felt like if that game had even just lasted a little longer, you know, the Bucs could have come out on top. So now I know they definitely know how fast Tyreek Hill is. They learned that. We got that figured out. So I think that now that it's just been experienced a little bit more, and this Bucs team is so different than they were at that point. So I feel like this defense, they have so much swagger and confidence now, which is amazing considering how young they are. And I just feel like overall the comfort level and the chemistry and everyone is clicking on the same page on both sides of the ball. It's a very different team than it was back then. Now, no offense to Kansas City. They're an amazing team. And I kind of wish they weren't who we were playing, because they got weapons everywhere, but I do have a lot of faith in our guys.
Are you suddenly hearing from people, friends, family that maybe you haven't heard from? Hey, can you get me in the Super Bowl? Can you get me tickets? I know it's limited to 22,000, but how's that been for you?
Yes. Yeah. I've definitely heard from people I haven't heard from in a very long time. I've definitely been hit up for tickets, been hit up for jerseys or autographs, all sorts of random things. And I have to politely say, sorry, I don't have any of those things. So yeah, it's been sad to have to turn everybody down, but it is really cool just to see, you know, again, all the attention and all the hype, that I just hope it translates to a lot of these guys getting the credit that they have, you know, deserved for a long time.
Well, all I'm going to ask you for is to shout out your church, because I'll be looking for somewhere to go on Super Bowl Sunday. Are they open or are they doing online right now?
Yep. Yeah. I have always gone to a Radiant Church here in Tampa, and yep, they are in person. They also have mask required services, and they're doing a good job with all of that. So yes, they are still open and meeting. So yeah, that's where I have always gone here in Tampa.
All right. Awesome. Well, Casey, thank you so much, and look forward to enjoying a great Super Bowl Sunday.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
That was Tampa Bay Buccaneers team reporter Casey Phillips. Thank you to Casey and Calais Campbell for being our guest this week. Big thanks to Doug Horton and Pastor Scott Foreman for all their hard work for Faith on the Field. Thank you also to 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, 107.5 Alive, and Rhythm Mix Radio for airing Faith on the Field show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.